Jesus quiets negativity. I think that this is a way of looking at this passage without us getting too wrapped up in the evil spirits and what was going on during that time. I think it's hard for us to relate to these evil spirits, although when you walk around downtown and you see people with maybe Tourette's or some sort of disease where they just shriek and talk, any sense? Whoops, I'm probably doing that myself. It may feel like there's something inside them that needs to be banished. But we're going to talk about what it is that Jesus does to quiet that negativity in us. What is it that we learn from Jesus' teachings, from Mark and other stories in the Bible that help us to understand God's love for us through Jesus? So let's pray. God, we thank you for these wonderful stories that help us with perspective on our lives, how we can understand your love for us in that banishment of negativity, the ability to say no to those voices of shame and guilt and anger that we can put aside if we know that we're loved. And we just thank you, God, that we can come to you with whatever it is in our lives and that you are there for us and we can depend on you to get rid of that negativity with us. In your name we pray. Amen. So, in this story in Mark's gospel, it's an interesting thing because we have the people in the story who are listening to Jesus saying, "What is this new teaching?" Jesus didn't really teach anything new, but Jesus' authority and his love for the people were so compelling that people said, "What is this? We don't understand. Something is going on here, and it's different and new, and it's exciting to us. So what is it?" But then this voice of negativity shrieks out from their midst and says, "Are you here to banish us, O Holy One of God?" Identifying Jesus, identifying exactly what these people who are listening intently to Jesus can't put their finger on. But the negativity knows that this positive attitude that Jesus has and the teachings that he has are ready to banish them away. And whenever negativity is being ready to be banished, it fights tooth and nail. There's a lot of negativity in this world, and it's difficult to banish it. Because even though it's shrieking out at us that God, you know, the Holy One wants to banish them, we still don't get it. The regular people standing around Jesus just didn't get it. It's amazing, isn't it? Alex and I went to a Sundance, well, two Sundance films in the last couple of days. And the first one we watched was called I Think We're Alone Now. And I'm totally going to ruin it for all of you, so decide if you want to see it. You can plug your ears if you want to. We walked away from that movie thinking we just can't get those 2 hours back from our lives. We didn't like it. But all we could talk about was this film for the next 2 hours. We went to lunch, we talked about it, we talked about the music that we hated, it was dismal, starts out with this guy who, he lives in a library, he's alone in this town, and the thing that he does is organize the library, he goes into people's houses, everybody has died, so he's all by himself. He gets the bodies, wraps them up, cleans the house, takes some pictures, and if there are any outdated library books, he picks those up too and puts them in his satchel. So you see him day after day, dragging the bodies, burying them, cleaning the houses, putting away the books. Then he'll go out fishing, get some fish. You see him go to the grocery store. He's got wine every night, eats with chopsticks, and he's all alone. And this goes on for a while. No dialogue, very boring, no good music. He seems just fine with his situation. He's not happy, he's not sad, he's just there. Then one night, all of a sudden, there are all these fireworks in the sky. And you think, well, something weird has happened. And he walks into the town during daylight and looks around and finds a car that has crashed and there's a girl in it. And he, you know, patches her up, gets her a car, says, here's a car, be on your way. Doesn't want to have a conversation with her. It's very boring. You expect this intensity, right? He comes up to the car. You think something's going to happen, and then nothing happens. No interaction, really, between the two. You know, he puts her in a bedroom in this house after he's patched her up and locks her in, and then they have a conversation through the door, and he says, well, you're going to be on your way. And anyway, she decides she's not going to leave. She likes it there. So she pesters him. And it's not a loving dialogue. It's just, she just stays. Finally, he says, okay, you can stay. It's boring, so boring. Every once in a while, you get this blast of AC/DC music. And Alex and I are thinking, what? No music of sentimental value, nothing like that. So one day, they're having a conversation, this young girl. She's, what do you think, 17, 18, somewhere around there. They're having this conversation at the table. And she starts talking about the dead people. And she wants to help him clean out the houses. And she says, well, my dad was a pastor. And my mom was, I don't know what her mom did, but they were nice people. She said, my dad, I found him on the toilet. And so, like, there's nothing redeeming about this at all. You're thinking a pastor, and she kind of half-heartedly says, well, maybe it was the rapture. And then you go on in the movie, and they begin to clean these houses, and she finds all these pictures that he's saved, and so she's helping him. And one day they find a live dog in one of these houses, and they take it back with them. And this dog is the only thing that's lively and loving in the whole movie. Right? Strange, huh? Nobody cares about each other, nothing like that. And then one day when they're burying the dead, this girl says, well, aren't you going to say anything? And he says, no, I never do. I just bury him. And she said, well, I think we need 10 seconds of holding our breath and silence. So they begin this practice, 10 seconds of silence and holding their breath at every burial. And you think there's a relationship happening there, and they're drinking a lot because the only thing that they can drink is the liquor in the liquor store. And it's still very blah, and you're thinking, this is really weird, the last two people on earth, and this girl is way too young for him, you don't want anything to happen. I know this is a long story, but I am getting somewhere with it. So one day, they wind up sleeping together in this house. I don't know if they have sex, but they're sleeping together. And he wakes up, and she's not in the bed, and she can hear voices. He can hear voices, and he goes downstairs, and there's this couple, and they greet him, and they say, oh, you must be our daughter's friend. And he says, daughter? I mean, he thinks they're the only two people in the world that are alive. And these people are acting like, oh, it's no big deal. They made pancakes. And I'm thinking, this has got to be a dream, right? These people don't just show up. And she said her parents were dead, so what's going on here? And they take her away. And she says, no, they're not really my parents. I was assigned to them. And you're thinking, okay, this really got really strange now. I hope this is going to redeem itself somewhere. So he lets this girl go. And he goes on with his life, buries some more people. But then you see him go to the house where he lived. And there's this moment where he starts picking up rocks and throwing them at the house. And it's the first time you ever really see emotion from this character. And I was thinking, okay, so he cares. Didn't seem to care before, but he cares. That's interesting. And then the next scene is he goes to find her. So the guy who was supposedly her dad had left the address. He said, "We need someone like you in our society. So there are living people somewhere else." So he goes there and he rescues her. Not the dad, the guy who is living there by himself, who thinks he's alone in the beginning. And the society they live in, it's Palm Springs. And have any of you ever seen The Stepford Wives or a movie like that? Yeah. Okay, so these people are kind of, they're there, but they seem to have no soul. And the father is played by Paul Giamatti. And so this character from the town is having a conversation with him when he's ready to take his daughter away. And the guy says, "We should be able to live in a place like this and forget all of those bad memories." And so he had been doing surgery on people to take away the bad memories out of their minds, but it obviously didn't work with this girl. So you're thinking, what's going on? And then basically the next scene is them driving out of town. And that's it. That's it. AC/DC music. And yeah, right? I mean, what is the redeeming quality of this movie? And so my kids joke all the time about how I see God in everything. Every movie, everything I do, God is in it. So 2 hours later, we're in the car, and I said the AC/DC music, it's like they had a soundtrack, a good one, and they lost it, and they just had to throw something in at the last minute. But then I realized the AC/DC music was there on purpose because it didn't have any sentimentality to it. So these people were all zombies. And the clue about this movie is right in the middle where she talks about her pastor father and how, what if this was the rapture? Did anybody else get that when I was telling the story? Good for you, Diane. Took me 2 hours. I was like, what? This is theology. Theology in this person's mind. Because really in the Bible, the people who are taken are the people who are the ones who aren't going to stay in God's kingdom. So they kind of have it backwards. So that's why there was no soul. But there was this glimmer of hope because these two people who had some feeling for each other went off into the sunset with hope. I didn't even get the hope until I realized what they were talking about, but these two people made a life together and figured it out for themselves that there was something more, that there was something about caring for each other that made that right. There was something that banished the negativity and brought in this hope. Sometimes the negativity is so great that you can't even bust through it. So, this crazy movie has been playing on me for 2 days. But imagine that. Imagine a world without any soul. And that is what this negativity is that Jesus is combating in the middle of a church, in the middle of a synagogue, a place that is sacred to God. And there's this evil spirit that recognizes him. What was that evil spirit doing there? What was evil doing in the middle of this place that was supposed to be sacred and beautiful? Because doesn't it permeate everything? And in that movie, it was everything. So there was this little voice of good that finally burst through, kind of like the fireworks. The onset of this girl coming into his life that showed him some love and caring for humanity. He was caring for the dead, but he wasn't caring for humanity. So Jesus quiets the negativity. And how does that happen? To me, the Bible is a book that helps us to learn to live the most healthy life we possibly can. With Jesus' words, Jesus' love, that's what breaks through that negativity and says, "You can be gone. You can be behind me. Whatever shame and guilt, whatever negativity was in my life, I can put that aside because God has grace and mercy and loves us so that we can sweep that all clean and believe and be in that great place of hope and love. That place of negativity, that was the world without God. And it's why it was so hard for me and Alex to watch it, because it was nothingness. It wasn't even negativity. It was opposite of love. It was no love, no compassion. Paul Giamatti was not compassionate. He was trying to control this negative chaos in his life. He didn't know how to get to that place that these two main characters finally got to. So what is it that Jesus does? Jesus speaks directly to this negativity and says, you need to be quiet and you need to be gone. So when we have negativity in our lives, it's important for us not to pretend it's not there, say maybe that we put it behind us, but to speak directly to it and say, I don't want to feel like this anymore. I don't want to do this anymore. I want positive love to take that out of my life, and I'm going to work it through, because pretending that it's not there doesn't mean that God has taken it away. It just means we're pretending it's not there. It's going to crop up again. To be healthy, we need to speak directly to that negativity and help ourselves to get rid of it. Pray. Ask God to come into our lives and help us to work on that, because help will come to whoever asks. So thank you for listening to my long story about this crazy movie. If you ever see it, you'll know what's going on, and it probably won't be fun to watch it, but I really appreciate you listening. And let's think about what that is. What does that mean, that Jesus can banish this negativity? Let's ruminate on this week. Let it play with us for a couple of days like that movie did for me, and maybe we'll have those aha moments about letting that negativity leave our lives, speaking to it and saying, I've had enough of feeling this way. God, help me to banish that with your help. So enjoy this week. Enjoy ruminating. Amen.